can have the fullness of the Spirit. Now, the second thing that's measured out to you, and let's turn over to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4. The second thing that's measured out to you is grace. You only have a measure of grace. You only have a measure of the Spirit, and you only have a measure of grace. Ephesians 4 and verse 7 says this, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." To each one of us a measure or a limited portion was given to us according to the Christ's gift. Now let's turn over to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 6. "And since we have gifts, that differ according to the grace given to us," according to the grace, another translation said, measured out to us. We all have gifts according to the measure that we have of grace. So not only has the Lord measured out His Spirit to you, but He's measured out His grace to you, and He also has measured out His faith to you. You only have a measure of faith. Now let me, Romans 12 and verse 3, it says this, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." And then in verse 6, in the latter part, it says, "If you prophesy, then prophesy according to the proportion or according to the measure of the faith that you have." Not only has God measured out His Spirit to you, He's measured out His grace to you, and He's measured out His faith to you. And then one last thing He has measured out to you, and this is what will determine how much Spirit you get, how much grace you get, and how much faith you get. And let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And this passage, you'll see, God measures out to you a ministry or a work that He wants you to do, or an arena that He wants you to exercise your spirit, your grace, and your faith within that arena. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, starting with verse 13, it says, "But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere." Now, that's very important. "Within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves." That's a very important thing. A lot of Christians overextend themselves. "We are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other man's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we shall be within our own sphere enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. But he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Now, let me try to share something real quick with you. Now, I'm not going to keep you much longer. Is this. Is that God has given, it says over in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And what that means is this, that God created us with something in mind. Now, it's very important that you understand that He didn't create us and then look for something for us to do. There was something that He wanted done in this generation, and with that in mind, He created us. And everything that I need to be effective and get the job done, God gave me. He said, in order for Jim to do that, he's going to need this personality, bam. In order for Jim to do that, he's going to need this sense of humor, bam. Whatever I needed to get the job done, the Lord created me for that. And then when I met Jesus, the Holy Spirit was measured out to me to equip me to be able to do it. I was created for it, and now I'm equipped both with the Spirit and with grace and with faith. Everything that I need to be effective in the sphere that the Lord has placed me in was given to me. I have all the grace I need to do to become effective in what God has called me to do. I have all the faith that I need to become effective. I have all the power of the Spirit that I need to become effective in what God has called me to do. Now let me tell you what happens when you venture out of your sphere. When you start doing things you were never created to do and you're not equipped to do, is you start running out of grace, you start running out of faith, and you start running out of the power of the Spirit. And instead of it helping you grow, it begins to tear you down. Instead of it causing peace, you lose peace. Instead of it causing joy, you lose joy. I can tell when I venture out of what God has assigned or allotted me to do, is my peace begins to dissipate. My joy begins to go. And I don't have any of the power of the Spirit. I feel weak and ineffective. I want you guys to know that you've got a measure in your part, and the Lord wants you to help you to become effective in it. And what you've got to do is identify that. And when you do, and then the Holy Spirit can tap into your supernatural resources. You're focused. You don't feel like you've got to do everything. You're not looking over at this need. You're focused on what the Lord wants you to do. And then He can tap in you and He can release the supernatural resources into your life. Not only that will bless you as it comes out, but will bless others as it goes out to them. Someone say amen.
Amen.
You guys are all good. Say no, I didn't say that. This one guy was preaching, and everyone kept saying amen, and you know, and finally just said pork chops, and someone said amen. I mean, they didn't know what they were saying amen to. Let me close by saying this. As I was preparing this message, one of the things I always try to do is just sit after I've prepared the message, got the scriptures down, put it together in outline. I just sit there. Whether it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes, sometimes it's hours. And just wait on the Lord. Number one, to get a sense if this is really what He wants to say. Because I don't want to preach you the word of Jim. I want to preach you the word of God. I don't want to minister to needs that I see. I want to minister to the needs that the Lord sees. And you've got to take it that way. But one of the things is I just sit and say, Lord, do you want to say anything? I mean, do you personally want to say anything other than what you're saying through the written word? And I felt the Lord say to me, I was sitting there and I was thinking, and I had this picture in my mind of covered wagons going across America back in the 1800s, a wagon train, you know, and cowboys, and there was signs on the covered wagons that said California or Boston, and there was people talking, and one of the things that they were saying over and over again, and they were talking about California, is that they were saying, there's gold in them there hills. There's gold in them there hills. They were excited because of the gold rush in the 1800s out in California. And as I was sitting there, and this scene was just coming across, I felt like the Spirit said to me, and all of a sudden that changed, and I saw this congregation, not so much your faces, but this room full of people, and the Lord started saying to me, saying, Jim, there's gold in them their lives. There's gold in the lives of the people that are in that congregation. There's something of value in there. There's a vein of something. There's gold in them, their lives. And the Lord wants to say to you this morning that there's gold, that you have value, not only to Him, but to each other. And again, I always want to get your thinking bigger than yourselves and bigger than this congregation. I want you to know that the Lord is a world person. He's a world person. And we always need to think about everything in relationship to the whole world. He's a world person. We're His people, so we have to become a world people. We have value to the whole world. problem is most of you have a hard time believing that there's any gold in your life, that you have any real value. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, the problem is that it's in an earthen vessel, and we can't get past the earthiness of our vessel. Earthen means imperfect. And I'm telling you, there's gold, and some of you immediately are thinking about how earthen you are, how imperfect you are, and you're really saying, well, yeah, there might be some in there, but man, it's you don't understand, Jim. I have a problem with this, and I have a problem with that, and so what? The earthenness of your vessel doesn't take away from the value of your treasure. If anything, and hear me on this, it adds to it. Because he says he did it purposely, so that the power, the surpassing greatness, won't be attributed to you. In contrast to your imperfections, the gold begins to glitter, begins to just come out, and people say, it's God. It's not David Hornsby. It's not Ray Brenson. It's not Diane Newsom. It's God. And it doesn't take away from it. See, we're all waiting for the vessel to get as good as the treasure, and that'll never happen. It's as you begin to let it flow out that it'll begin to change your vessel. It won't ever become imperfect. It'll always be earthen, but it'll have something going through it, woven in the fiber of it that's of God. It's gold. It's durable. It's malleable. That's the characteristics of gold. It glitters. It's easily, it's malleable. You can easily just move it. And it's durable. But it's still woven into the fabric of your earthenness. There's some gold in your lives. As a minister, I'm called to be a gold prospector. In fact, if I was to sum up my whole purpose in life, mine, I know what mine is. It's found in Jeremiah 15:19. And it says, if you can extract the precious from the worthless, you'll be my spokesman. My purpose in life is to be able to look past the seemingly worthless, see that there's something precious, and then go about extracting it, bringing it out, learning to love the unlovely. One of the things I want to teach you to do, if you're around me, let's look past your worthlessness, see that there's something precious, and allow God and others, and through prayer and fasting and Bible, let it begin to extract out of you, out into this church, into this community, and consequently, the world. The Lord has deposited gold in your lives. Gold is always hidden. Let me just say three things. Gold is always hidden. You have to seek it. It's just not going to rise to the surface. Let me ask you this. If you knew for sure, without a doubt, that there was gold in your backyard, people came up and said, Jim, we don't know where it is, but it's here. Would you dig one hole and quit? No. You'd dig that whole backyard. You'd bring in a bulldozer. You'd excavate that thing until you found the gold. Now I'm telling you guys, there's gold in your lives this morning. Real gold, valuable gold, glittering kind of gold, malleable gold, durable gold. You got to dig it. Don't dig one hole. Don't try one time. If it doesn't come out, quit. Keep digging till it comes out. Keep going for it. If you're on Sunday morning and the Lord says, I want to tap into your gold, and it comes out, and instead of it being the water of the Spirit, it's old Newsom water, next week let them dig it again. Try again. Don't settle for failure. Failure is not final. The Lord is final. We need the resources that are in your life. 1 Timothy 4:14 says this, don't neglect your gift. That means just pay some attention to it. Find out what it is, number one. Number two, it says, let's rekindle it. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Rachel to come up and begin to pray. Let's rekindle it.